Hi, and welcome to Becoming Less, an Edmontonian journey to less waste, less impact, less consumption, and less clutter. Becoming Less is brought to you by Waste Free Edmonton, and together we are dedicated to waste reduction efforts, big and small. I'm Biz, and today I'm here with Krista from Rose City Organizing. Hi, Krista, how are you doing?
Hi, Biz. I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. And Krista is, well, an organizer, which kind of speaks for itself with the name of the company. Krista, can you just tell us a little bit about what you do?
Yeah, I am a professional organizer, and I help busy, overwhelmed, and stressed out families basically take control of the clutter and disorganization in their home so that they can create more peace and enjoyment in their life.
Excellent. Clutter is one of those things in our tagline, less clutter. And there is a huge environmental impact to that because consumption and clutter are some of the big things that people don't really think about as an environmental problem, but they really are. And Krista kind of helps people deal with the emotional side of the hoarding and organizing and keeping everything, like she said, peaceful. So when you help people out, what would be the first thing that you do with everybody?
So the first thing that I do with my clients is make sure that they're ready to declutter because I can't, I could organize everything you own, but most of the time there is an issue of space. You just don't have enough space for everything you own because you own too much. So our primary goal is to declutter anything that you don't use, want, need, or really love. So that is our primary goal from the start of the process.
Just like our tagline says, less. We are all about less because we all have too much stuff. And it really is like this headspace that you have to get into. And that's probably the biggest hurdle, hey?
Yeah, I still remember the first client I ever worked with, she wanted me to organize her storage room and help her declutter in preparation for listing her home on the market for sale because she felt they needed to purchase a bigger home. And when we finished doing a four-hour storage declutter and organization, she said to me, I don't need a bigger house, I just need less stuff. And that was that's the epitome of what I do, is realizing that we do not need as much as we think we need in order to be content, live enjoyable lives, and be happy.
And I'm sure, like, your Instagram is basically like porn for me. I love seeing your befores and afters. I'm just like, this is amazing. And it just makes me so happy to see that space that people create in their lives.
Yeah, you're a pretty organized person, and you're not the first one to say it's like organization porn. And I think it's so fantastic. When you get to a point in your life where you do have, you know, the simplistic, minimalist kind of mindset, and you've organized everything that you love in a way that makes you feel good and brings your vibe up when you walk into that space, like every time you see an organized space, you're like, oh, it's just... It fills your soul.
It does. It really does. Yeah. I think that if people could get that headspace and that mind shift to thinking about whether they actually need to bring something new into their life, then they would just be way more at peace and way happier in general. Do you find that with your clients?
Oh, definitely. I mean, you hit on a key point there about what you're bringing into your home. And one of my clients, she has six kids, and she was very overwhelmed with, like, their artwork and all of the things that they created, because she's very crafty and artsy as well. And so we were struggling with, you know, parting with some of those things. We'd take pictures of them and then let go of the physical item. But she messaged me after she had gone on vacation to her parents' house with the kids, and they had done a bunch of arts and crafts to keep the kids busy. And as she was packing up their suitcases to come home, she looked at all the arts and crafts that they had done on their vacation. She's like, these do not need to come home with us. Like, they do not need to come into my house. And she texted me to say, I recycled all of their crafts and artwork and didn't even bring them home. And she's like, now I don't have to deal with them here. And it was just this, like, yes, that is it. That's where you need to get to. And it takes time. And, you know, it is definitely a mindset shift, because we are, in our society, kind of ingrained that more stuff equals more happiness, you know?
And it's totally the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. So what do you think is the one thing that people, a few things that maybe you find that people tend to hold on to when they really shouldn't? What are some of the common things?
It depends on the person and their past, their history, their upbringing. But a lot of people are definitely attached to like those sentimental childhood things. Or, you know, something that's been handed down to me, handed down to them from, you know, a grandparent or a special person, or gifts. Like they've been given a gift from somebody that means a lot to them, and the gift doesn't necessarily mean a lot to them, but because it has that attachment to that special person, they feel obligated to hold on to that thing. And so those are like the top three things that I find are really difficult for people to let go of. And there's easy ways that we can, like, you know, process and make space for those emotions and then take pictures of those items and create a memory book so they can still look through and see the item without having to hold on to the physical thing. But a lot of times they just feel obligated to hold on to that thing because it's attached to a special person.
Do you find that people are more worried about what the person who gave it to them is going to think when they don't see it there?
Oh, yeah, that comes out of their mouth very often. They're like, well, she gave this to me, and what will she think if I give it away or I donate it? Will it offend her? Will it hurt her feelings? My saying is, your obligation ends with thank you.
That
when you say thank you,
brilliant.
Take that item is now yours to do with whatever you please.
Like, yeah,
it's
like
so
that.
Hard, but you have to repeat that to yourself over and over and over again until you change that mindset, because your obligation ends with thank you.
Yeah, I have tried to make very clear to all my friends and family, if you give me something and you didn't clear it by me, like you don't know that it's something that I actually needed or wanted, it may be leaving my house within 3 months. And just like, if that's going to offend you, don't buy me stuff.
And so, yeah, you're taking my phrase like a step further and you're being like, I made my obligation man with no thank you.
Yes.
Right. And so that's great if you can get, you know, to the next level where you're setting up those boundaries with people right from the start and communicating with them why you are no longer taking things into your home and life, because you're trying to create less clutter, you're trying to create more peace, you're trying to reduce stress and overwhelm, you don't want to maintain a bunch of things, or you just don't have the energy and the bandwidth for it. When you set up those boundaries and you communicate clearly with people in your life and you repeat it so that eventually like it gets through to them, that is huge. And that's amazing that you do that. That's great.
I think it's actually like easier to create that before anyone buys you stuff. If you set up that expectation ahead of time, it's so much easier than trying to reject the thing when it comes.
Yeah, I've done that with my mom. it's slowly taking. I mean, she's got a love language of gift giving. So
yes,
I mean,
yeah, that is really hard for people.
It's
and
hard.
I've had in the past friends who are definitely gift givers. That is their love language, and I've told them like, I know you want to give me things. So give me consumable things. Give me soap. Mm-hmm. Give me coffee. Give me things that I can use up, rather than things that are going to sit around and just collect dust over the years.
Yep, 100%. My mom knows now she can give me Starbucks recharge on my gift card.
Right? Yes. See, there are alternatives to having more physical objects.
Definitely. It's so true. You have to think outside the box and get creative. And I mean, this is one thing too. When you're thinking about bringing something into your home, like, okay, I need this. Okay, you need something, but for how long do you need that thing, right? Like, are you going to use it just once? If you're going to use it just once, can you get creative and think outside the box of how you can get that thing without actually purchasing it, consuming it, and then not using it ever again? Could you ask from a friend, you know, do you have one of these things? Can I borrow it? You know, or can you look on buy and sell and see, oh, is there something that's used and I can purchase it? Or, you know, some groups even have like giveaway, like free. I don't need this anymore. So reducing the consumption, like we were talking about, and creating less waste in our environment, it all starts with that reduce, reuse, recycle. Like we have to go back to that, is how can I reduce consumption? How can I reuse what's already been purchased and make better use of it And then how do I recycle that and give it to somebody else, or you know, let somebody else bring, get joy from it once I'm done?
There are so many things that you can just, like, we don't all need our own ex, right?
Exactly.
We don't.
Exactly.
A stud finder. I needed a stud finder the other day. I have needed a stud finder for the first time in like 2 or 3 years. Mm-hmm. I don't need to own one of those myself. I can borrow that.
Exactly. And I think like it would be great if our society had something like more common for that, like a shared community library, right? Like I know our homeschooling families in our area, we have a homeschool library. So we don't have to go out and buy all the resources brand new. We can go to the library and take them out, you know? And so it would be great if we had something like that, like a home reno tool library.
We do.
Okay. Well, tell me all about it.
Edmonton Tool Library, which actually might be on the podcast within the next few weeks, is exactly that.
Are they the ones tools that are doing that, like, fix it and repair day?
The Repair Cafe. Yes, that was last week. And I was one of the volunteers for that.
Awesome.
It was a lot of fun. I did a lot of sewing, but I also repaired a lamp. So. I fixed dog toys and I fixed backpacks and shoes and it was good.
That's awesome. Yeah, I think that's fantastic. The less that we have to like purchase brand new, the better for our world and for our pocketbook.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. So how long have you been doing this?
So I've been organized my whole life and I've been organizing for people and organizing events, ever since I can remember, but this professional organizing business I started 2 years ago at the end of June. And so I just celebrated my second anniversary and it's been amazing. Like I've just seen, like you said, the organization porn of the before and afters, but even more than that, like just seeing the transformation in my clients, like, from, you know, the beginning of the session to the end of a 6-hour session, they have just transformed as people. Like they're relieved and they're happy. Sometimes they cry. They're so overjoyed at just like the burden that's been lifted off of them when I drive away with a van full of donations and their space is just peaceful and organized. So I don't know. It's just, it's been 2 years, but it seems like a lifetime because I've just worked with so many wonderful people and transformed so many amazing lives. Like, it seems like it's been more than 2 years.
That sounds very fulfilling, like very lovely thing to get to do for a living.
Yeah, it is very rewarding. I love it.
So when you take your van away with that stuff, where does it tend to go?
So it depends on the donations. Like if we're not in COVID restriction time, the library will take books, which is great. And then we do have a few, you know, like schools or daycares that'll take, you know, kids' toys or kids' books. And then most of the donations will go to Salvation Army or Goodwill. They take pretty much everything. So they're a good stop for me to unload that.
Okay. Man. Cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what is your favorite part of the process?
Oh, probably that. The decluttering and the donation part. Because I feel like that physical stuff is not only a physical weight and a physical burden on a home and a family, but it's like mental and emotional as well. It affects so much of the mental and emotional health. That's my favorite part, is just like removing that burden.
The end. The end result. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When people come to you, what do you find that like when they come to you and when you leave, there's like this different, I don't want to say mindset again, but like, do they come to you for a different reason than maybe they feel like they got at the end?
I think so. I think most people they're kind of looking, you know, they look on Pinterest or they see the home edit and they're like, oh yeah, it looks so pretty, you know, and they want that kind of look, but they get this like internal change in themselves. Like you said, the mindset and the attitude and the outlook, it's just so deep. Like they don't expect it to go that deep and they don't expect us to touch on things that are like, wow, I'm holding on to this because we as a family came from very few resources, you know, and we had, you know, we didn't let go of anything because we didn't have much. And so now they're realizing some of those past behaviors and past like histories that are causing them to still live in a way that's not really beneficial for their mental and emotional health. And so it does go quite deep and reveals a lot to them, which I find pretty amazing.
Do you find yourself like half counselor?
Oh, yeah. Definitely. I always joke I'm the cheapest therapist you'll ever hire. But yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, and I have to say, like, when I first moved out on my own, I was not the organized minimalist that I am now. And I suppose, like, if you came into my sewing room, you might be like, you're a minimalist, what? But
oh, I've seen your sewing room on Instagram.
It's there's a lot of stuff in here, but it's all stuff that makes me, that brings me joy to be very Marie Kondo about it. Do you get compared to Marie Kondo a lot?
They ask me if I've seen her, but I don't get compared to her. I'm a little bit more rough around the edges.
Oh, she's so refined and cute. Yeah, she's just like adorable. I just want to like pet her on the head.
Yeah, no, she is so sweet. And I just love her calm and like grounding nature. It's very just like, oh, you just feel at peace watching her.
But your rough around the edges technique,
I don't know
still...
if my clients would describe me as Marie Kondo style. You'd have to ask them.
Like I said, the stuff that I do keep, I don't keep things that I haven't used in a long time or, and I'm constantly going through that cycle. Like, it's not like I did it once and it's over. No, it's a constant process. It's like every time I pick something up or look at a corner, it's like, do I need this in my life? Is this just taking up space?
Nice. That's awesome.
Right. And I imagine that you, do you have to go through that with your clients as well to be like, you're not done. Like, we did the worst of it, but this is going to continue forever.
Yeah, exactly. Like my third client ever, I've worked with her now for 2 years and on and off, right? Because we did her initial declutter and purge over about 4 sessions to get the whole house done. And once we were finished that, she was just like, oh my gosh. She's like, I feel so good. This is amazing. And then she's like, I need to declutter more. And I'm like, really? Because you just got rid of like 5 van loads of donations. You want to do more?
Oh my word. Holy moly.
Yep. And so now, 2 years later, she has sold her massive house. She has bought a piece of land and a house, a small house. She's moved on to that land. She's completely minimized, downsized her home. And she donated again another 3 van loads with me in preparation for this listing and this move. And she did a big garage sale thing. And it was amazing. Like, she had minimal stuff when I left the first time. And then she brought me back this summer and we did it all over again. And she like cut in half her possessions again because she reduced the size of her home by downsizing and went, I cannot fit all this stuff in there. Like, I need to downsize more. It was so cool to see the progression in just 2 years of how much she has let go of and minimized. And now her and her daughters are just like, yep, we have exactly what we need, nothing more. And it's just, they just are happy. They're just so happy. So it's amazing.
That's amazing. How old are her daughters ish?
They are 12 and 16.
Okay. So they'll probably take that sort of lifestyle with them too. So that's amazing.
Oh, they did. Because the one, the older daughter, I worked with her in her room last year, and she, you know, parted with 2 or 3 of her stuffed animals and a couple of her craft supplies and some of her clothes. And then when I went back to her last month, she got rid of like almost all of it. She was like, nope. She's like, you can take all the stuffed animals and you can take this with the clothing. And I was just like, oh my gosh, I would have had to like pry these out of your cold dead hand,
you know,
last year.
Yeah.
But she's like, nope, I'm just ready to go, because she's been watching her mom, and the transformation in her mom, like mentally and emotionally and just relationally in their life and their home, has been so obvious and just filtered down to them. It's a beautiful thing to see.
Oh, that's so great.
A stressed out single mom, completely overwhelmed, in less than 2 years being like a totally different person and completely transforming her family and her life. So
that's so great.
Yeah.
So are there any like horror stories? Like, how many vans have you come away with from one person's house?
So the one person that I did help, she did have hoarder tendencies, but she was ready to move because she wanted to be closer to her new granddaughter. And she needed to declutter in order to list the home for sale. So I did go in and help her, and this was before I had a team. So on my own, I went for 7 days, not straight, but 7 days. And we filled an entire dumpster, like the size of a long driveway. You know those big ones?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I filled that all by myself. And then I also took away about 7 or 8 of my minivans jam full of donations that unfortunately could not be received by the donation center due to the state of the items. And so then I had to dispose of them, unfortunately. But that was something that really opened my eyes to just the mental state that people can get in when the environment gets to a point where it's controlling them rather than they're in control. So the fact that she was able to reach out to me and say, I have this dumpster set up and I'm ready to go. And, I was grateful that she was ready to part with things because I was literally scraping like years worth of packed down, locked on items off the floor. And you could not get into a room unless you were crawling over things in the doorway. So
holy moly.
It was a situation off of the show Hoarders.
Right.
And that was 1 year into my business. And that was the first job I did after the lockdown restrictions were removed last summer. So I was like, wow, this is a thing. Like, I'm doing this.
Yeah.
And it was one of the most rewarding jobs I've ever done. And I don't think it will ever get topped because she was able to list that home, pack up her things, move closer to her granddaughter, minimize, downsize, and just, completely get rid of all this legit crap that was weighing her down and holding her back.
Now, what I took away from that is you had to throw out her stuff because basically she had so much she couldn't take care of it and it all became garbage rather than useful things for other people.
Yeah. It was very heartbreaking for me because I knew driving away with the first load, like when I drove up to the Restore or I drove up to the Salvation Army, they were going to look at that and smell it and see it and be like, no, we're not taking this. Like, this can't even be in our store. So it was very heartbreaking for me, and I want to cry thinking about it because I know that there are so many people that could benefit from those things, and those organizations benefit financially, which then benefits the community. I think that that's where my heart and my passion is for educating people about consumption. And like, if you don't purchase it and bring it into your home, you completely remove the entire like option for it to become clutter and become a stressor in your life and become something you have to maintain and then eventually become garbage because some things you can't, it's just sad. Yeah.
Yeah. So, that's one thing to think about. Like, can you afford this? Doesn't just mean, do you have the money to pay for it? It also means, can you maintain it? Do you have somewhere for it to live in your home? Those are all things to take into consideration too.
100%.
Like, if it gets shoved in a closet and then, like, gets crushed or gets, like, owning cats, I'm going to say peed on.
Yes, that's right? What happened, right? I know. So, yeah, I think we definitely have to start thinking. And it's all about intentionality, right? Like, when you're at a store and you're window shopping, oh, for love of God, don't do that. But it's just like just don't even tempt yourself. And it's so hard to look at something and be like, okay, I don't need this and I don't have room for it and I don't want to maintain it and I want to save that money for something else. Like, if you just remove the temptation, like, be proactive.
This is why I tend to not shop at malls.
Yeah,
I just avoid malls as much as I can because malls are the worst place for that kind of thing. It's like you go in for one thing and you pass 100 shops on your way to go to the thing that you went there for.
Yep.
And there is a good chance that their marketing is better than your mental ability to block it.
Oh, yeah.
And you will come home with something you really did not need.
Well, and they have the psychology down pat. They know how to, trigger your brain. to think that it needs that item. And so that's where we do need to be aware of, you know, how that programming and the advertising has been designed by psychologists, like, to mess with your brain. And when you're aware of that, it's like, oh, then you start to see it everywhere. And like, it becomes quite obvious. But yeah, it's all like about awareness.
You really need to just be conscious of the fact that everyone's just trying to sell you things. Whether you need, they're not trying to like fix a problem with your life. They're not trying to fill a hole. They're trying to make you think you have a hole that needs filled. There's a difference.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's about money. I'm sorry to say it.
It really is. Yeah. And it's, this is why I just, I try not to even go places that will create that temptation. Because like the internet is just full of things. I don't scroll on the internet because advertisements are everywhere. I don't go to malls. When I want something, I try to hone in on exactly what I want before I, like, I don't just go into a store to look around.
No, and it's, I mean, even we've noticed with this year, especially with the online shopping, and the online marketing is even worse because they have the algorithms and the targets. Like, if you even just say to a friend, I'm thinking of getting a boat. I mean, this happened to my boyfriend this summer. He was talking to his friend about a boat, and then all of a sudden he gets an ad popping up on his phone about, or he even emailed him or something crazy about like boats on some website. And he was like, what the heck? And I was like, you need to turn off your Siri or something because it's listening to you.
Yeah.
And
I don't know where, like, where that happens, or you just like innocently were like, I just want to show you a picture of this thing. And you look it up because you were talking about it. And now they know, they're like, they were talking about that thing. We're going to send them advertisements for those things. Yep.
It starts popping up on your sidebar on social media, or it starts coming up on your Google or in your inbox, like, suggestion. And I'm like, okay, there are ways to turn that off. I'm just telling you that right now as a tip. Mm-hmm. You can turn off those tracking things, but you have to use different browsers and things like that.
Yeah, it's different between each browser or device or whatever, but you can definitely, you can look it up and find the way to do that, or ask someone who might be better at that sort of thing. Just keep away that temptation, because the easiest way to reduce clutter in your home is to not bring it in the first place.
100%. You got it.
Any other good stories from some of your experiences?
Oh, I have so many stories. How do I pick one? I do, you know, often have clients who they're wanting to like create organization and systems in their home. And so they buy shelving, or they buy cubbies, or they buy the organizing bins and products, and they spend this money on new items, even if it's on buy and sell. You know, you're still spending money on these items, and you're doing it before you assess your possessions and decide what you actually want to keep, because you're using it and you love it. And I always tell people, like, you need to declutter first before you go out and spend money on possessions, like to organize those possessions, right? So yeah, that's a story in a way, because it's like almost all of my clients have done that. Like, I walk into their homes and like, here's my pile of organizing stuff. And I'm like, okay, great. I don't need to go shopping for anything. Because we can, you know, use all of that once we've decluttered. We don't even need half of it.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you find that most of the time you don't need as much as they bought?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
That's probably a good, like, mental start for them, though. If they feel like if they've invested in it, that they're more likely to actually follow through.
Yeah, most people are, you know, ready to do it. They just don't know where to start because it is so overwhelming, because, again, they have too much stuff. So that's where I come in and I help them, you know, get started. And we just keep them motivated, keep them rolling, keep them making decisions. We don't get stuck on an item, because I can help, you know, ask the right questions about it, or set it aside, come back to it later. Like, the process that I have with people is very gentle and it's very patient, but it is motivating. Like, I do ask those questions and I do push them to make decisions, you know, and I do encourage them like to keep going, because a lot of times when you're doing it on your own, it's like you get overwhelmed at a point, or you get tired, or your brain just fries out from making decisions. You're like, I'm done. Yeah. Screw it. You just jam it back
decision
in the closet.
Decision fatigue is real.
Oh, yes.
Yep. So do you just do the Edmonton area?
No, actually, I serve like all the surrounding areas of Edmonton. So Sherwood Park, Stoney Plains, Spruce Grove, Fort Saskatchewan, Morinville. And then I have gone all the way to Cochrane because I serve Red Deer and the surrounding areas, Wetaskiwin, Camrose. I do a lot of driving.
Way down to Camrose. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So we do a lot of driving because Alberta is so spread out, like all the cities, and I have people that need me in all those areas, and I don't mind it. Like, it's kind of nice to just listen to podcasts and
yeah.
drive.
There
and,
you go. Yeah. Listen to podcasts while you're driving. Excellent. Yeah. I like it. And yeah. do you ever do like virtual decluttering with people, or is that kind of out of your realm?
Yes, I do. Actually, I do monthly virtual declutter and organization parties. So it's a group coaching situation where you get to work with me at like a really minimal rate because I'm working with multiple people at once. Mm-hmm. And it's so much fun because we put on music and you pick a space that you're working on. You get a little bit of pre-coaching before we start, you know, in the week leading up to it. You get my pre-party checklist. And then for the 2 hours we're decluttering and organizing, you can ask me questions. I give you advice and we come up with ideas. And if you're stuck on something, I'm there to help and keep you going and focused. And it's amazing how much can get done in 2 hours. It really
that
is.
Sounds like a blast. Do you have any so coming up in September?
Yeah. So September 14th, I believe it's a Tuesday, we're going to be doing 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. We find that works best for the ladies. And it'll be good because kids are back in school, kind of back into the routine and realizing what systems aren't working or what systems need to be set up for that. So the ladies are really excited. Yeah.
Awesome. Where else can people find you?
I am on Facebook at Rose City Professional Organizing. Feel free to join my Facebook group. It's the Uncluttered Confident Woman. And that's where, you know, I advertise a lot of my parties or my events, or if I have live guests, it's in the group. So it's free to join. And on Instagram, my handle is at Rose City Organizing. My website is rosecityprofessionalorganizing.com.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Krista.
Yeah, it was so much fun. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, this is awesome. I love nerding out about minimalism and decluttering. I'm just, yep, this is me being a nerd.
That's awesome.
Thank you all to our listeners as well. And thank you to Change Toothpaste to sponsor this podcast. They pay for the cost because podcasting is not free and Emily and I are volunteers. If you want to get in touch with Becoming Less, you can reach us at becominglesspod@gmail.com. You can find us on Instagram at becominglesspod or go to wastefree.ca/becominglesspod for all the ways to connect and listen or to donate to support waste reduction efforts here in Edmonton. Until next time, we can all be a little less than we were yesterday.
Have a good day.